Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 8, the sons of Sarga, Sagara meet Lord Kapiladev, text number 22. Ye deha bhajas triguna pradana gunan vipasyant yuta vatamascha yan maya mohita chaitasas tvam vidusva samstam na bahi prakashah. Yea, those persons who deha bhaja have accepted the material body, triguna pradana, influenced by the three modes of material nature, gunan, the manifestation of the three modes of material nature, vipashanti, can see only, uta, it is so said, va, either, tamaha, the mode of ignorance, cha, and yat maya, by the illusory energy of whom mohita has been bewildered, chetasa, the core of whose heart, tvam, your lordship, vidu, no, sva samstam, situated in one's own body, na, not, Bahi Prakashaha, those who can see only the products of external energy. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, you are fully situated in everyone's heart, but the living entities covered by the material body cannot see you, for they are influenced by the external energy, conducted by the three modes of material nature. Their intelligence being covered by sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun, they can see only the actions and reactions of the three material modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the modes of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake or sleeping, they can only see only workings of the material nature, they cannot see your lordship. Purport. Unless one is situated in the transcendent loving service of the Lord, one is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. However, because the conditioned souls are influenced by material nature, they can see only the actions and reactions of material nature, not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One therefore must purify himself internally and externally. Om apavitra pavitra va sarva vastam katopi va yaksmaret pundarikaksham sabhayantaram suchi. To keep ourselves externally clean, we should bathe three times daily. And for internal cleanliness, we must cleanse the heart by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must always follow this principle, Baya Bhayantara Suchi. Then it will one day be possible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Oh my Lord, you are fully situated in everyone's heart, but the living entities covered by the material body cannot see you, for they are influenced by the external energy, conducted by the three modes of material nature, their intelligence being covered by sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun. They can see only the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the modes of ignorance, Whether living entities are awake or sleeping, they can see only the workings of material nature. They cannot see your lordship. Hearing has been explained in the Bhagavad Gita as the most important element in any kind of advancement, whether material or spiritual. But ultimately, hearing has to lead to seeing. If we don't see what we're hearing, we're actually not hearing. At least we're not hearing what's being said. Of course, we may see something on the basis of hearing, but it may not be what the person is actually saying. Therefore, we have to hear and try to see what's being said. That's called assimilation of the knowledge. See what's being said by Krishna. In other words, what is Krishna saying? We should see through the eyes of scripture. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Ukramantam sitim vapi punjana vagnandita vimudo nana pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, no, foolish doesn't mean they didn't get 100% on the spelling test. That's not what foolish means. Foolish means that one doesn't see things as they actually are. The foolish cannot understand how the living entity quits his body. Now, how many people in this world actually know how we quit the body? Now, we may have so many degrees from a university, but if we don't know how we're leaving the body, what is the value of all those degrees? We're in the same situation as the animals are. If you ask a dog how he quits his body, he won't even understand what you're talking about. He doesn't even know he's going to quit his body. Although, I think every living entity has this idea, because if you try to run over a dog, he'll probably try to get out of the way. He has some sense that he might get killed, and therefore he moves out of the way, that he might have to leave the body. But anyone who doesn't know how the living entity is quitting his body must be in ignorance, however so-called learned one may be. Because the most important thing that happens to us in this lifetime is when we quit our body. We may lose so many things. We may become a billionaire, a trillionaire, quadrillionaire. And that may be significant for a brief period of time. But then we have to leave all that behind. And where are we going? How much can we take with us? Do we get 1% to take with us? If not, where does it all go to? Where do we go? Prabhupada used to give the example of Napoleon. Napoleon, he has a statue in France, and on the statue it says, France et soi. France is me. But where is actually the statue is there and it says France is me. And as Prabhupada said that during the year the birds are coming passing stool on the statue on its head. And once a year to honor Napoleon's birth is yes, Puja. They do some puja, so then they climb up to the top of the statue and they clean off all the bird stool. So for at least a few hours he's clean. And then they do their puja and worship of Napoleon. And after it's all done, the birds come back and make their offerings. But who's to say that Napoleon isn't one of those birds? We can't really say. So much energy went in his whole life to making France whatever it is. But he might become a bird making offerings on his statue. What is the value of such a life? Or as Prabhupada used to point out that there was a very powerful Indian leader, Prime Minister Nehru. But Prabhupada said, according to one astrologer, Nehru, after leaving the body, became one of two dogs in Sweden. I mean, there's more than two dogs in Sweden. Two dogs in someone's house in Sweden. Now, he was such a powerful leader, he had to become a dog in his next lifetime. Not only a dog, but he had to share his bowl with some other dog. Couldn't even get his own dog bowl. Maybe they gave him two bowls, I'm just speculating. But what is the value of becoming such a big leader, thinking that everything depends on me, and then you become a dog? And you have to waste millions of lifetimes before you get the uniform of life again. And hopefully you learn not to become a dog again. Therefore, it's important to understand how the living entity quits his body. Where he's going. That's knowledge. Because we're in this body for a very small amount of time, insignificant, compared to eternity. We're only going to be here for a brief moment, not even a moment, practically speaking. And then we have to go somewhere else, eternally. We're never coming back to Slovenia again, at least not in this body. If you're reading a book at the time of death, and you have a bookmark in the book, you can't come back and complete the book. Maybe you can come back and complete the book, but not in the same body. Therefore, utkramantam stitim vapi bunjana vagunandita. And we don't know how we're enjoying this body. How the living entity is 1/10,000th the size of Tipihara's size, and how his consciousness is pervading the body, and how everything is going on in the body, but he's actually not doing anything. Anadivam nirgunatva paramatmayam aviram shariras-topikantya nakaroti-nanalipite. That those who can actually see with the eyes of knowledge can see that the soul is eternal. So that's the first thing we have to realize. We're eternal. We're not this materialistic personality. We're not our feelings in the material world. These were conditioned feelings. Unless we're thinking about Krishna and seeing things related to Krishna, our feelings are being provided by the material nature to us. We're just identifying with ourselves with it. We have the capacity to have a similar feeling, but the original feelings are not ours. They're being provided to us. Just like in the spiritual world, we feel Krishna's love, the love of his devotees, and we give our love back to Krishna and his devotees. This is all spontaneous exchange. But here we feel the love of our body. We feel our body, and we think it's love. Or we think it's ourselves, whatever. We think it's our emotions. But these are just things we're feeling. They're being given to us by the material nature. The soul is eternal, transcendental. In other words, we have actually, we're simply observers. But we're observing not just watching a movie. This is a real virtual reality. We can see, we can smell, we can taste, we can feel, all these things the soul is experiencing. But it's just a better virtual reality than it's the best possible virtual reality that could be created. It's so realistic, we believe it. Sharira stopikondiya anadivam nirgunadva paramatmayam avyam sharira stopikondiya na karoti nanalipyate. Either he's not doing anything, nor is he entangled. So we're moving our arms, we're experiencing through this body, but we're simply observing. Nothing's happening to us. It's just all a bad dream. The question is whether we want to wake up or not. For some people, even the nightmare is quite pleasant. People like horrible movies. So they think, I'm actually doing quite well. I'm actually happy. I got everything I need. And it's only going to get better. And if something happens, they're just completely shocked, like when they had to leave their body. How can this happen to me? Everything was going all right. Why? 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 Tell me why. It's unfair. But nothing's happening to us, nor are we doing any, nor are we actually entangled. The same example we give, you know, you run up to a tree and grab the tree. Let me go, let me go. But the tree's not holding on to us. We're holding on to the tree. But we're convinced it's the tree's fault. It's all the tree. The tree won't let me go. It's unfair. No, just let go of the tree. You'll be all right. We think, oh, that's too philosophical. I can't let go of the tree. It's my tree. My tree. I can't. It's such a nice tree. How can I let it go? It loves me. So one has to see that we're not entangled. We're transcendental. We're neither doing anything, nor are we actually entangled. We can free ourselves immediately just by engaging ourselves in devotional service. Now, it doesn't appear to us that we're free when we're engaged in devotional service, but then again, we don't understand even how we're entangled. So how do we know when we're free? We can't figure out when we're entangled. How do we know what freedom is? Of course, as one becomes more absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then one becomes free to become Krishna conscious, to enjoy the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their associates. One becomes free to enjoy that and participate in that. That's freedom. And when we don't do that, then we're simply slaves of our senses and our desires, searching for happiness in a place where there is only misery. Of course, different degrees of misery. Sometimes our misery appears to be our happiness. If we bang our finger with a hammer and we're screaming in pain and someone comes along and puts a band-aid on it, we feel better. We think, oh, I feel so good now. But how many people run down the street with their finger, hey, my finger feels great. No, it's, we only realize how when we're in misery, if the misery goes away, then we think we're doing good. So one has to see like that. How the mandi quits his body, what kind of body enjoys under the spell of material nature. But only those whose eyes were trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. But knowledge is not just some theoretical knowledge. As I've said many times, this book knowledge is very important. It's the beginning of knowledge. But more than that is to see through the books, to see personally what it means to me. Not that Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita and we're thinking, oh, 5,000 years ago he's speaking to Arjuna. He was probably falling asleep and trying to keep him awake. Said so many things that no one understands. Probably Krishna couldn't understand it either. Interesting things, though. No, Krishna is speaking to us, and he's still speaking to us. As a super soul, we're in a heart, the body is the chariot, and Krishna is our charioteer, and we're the passenger. And there's a fight going on. The fight is to get out of the material energy, out of illusion. We're fighting against Maya by taking shelter of Krishna. And there are different levels of that fight. In a mode of ignorance, we think we're the controllers and the doers. We think we're responsible for everything going on. We look around, we try to figure out what I can do to make everything all right for me. I mean, what I can do to make everything right for everyone else, and especially me. Now I got to correct this person, I got to get this person to do that, I got to... So we're making so many plans for everyone except for ourselves. We're going to make everything perfect, like ourselves. So one has to, in the motivators, we think we're the controllers. Even if we see things, something wrong, because there's a lot of things to see wrong in this world. And even when we're sincere and we really want to help people and we want to correct them, you know, stop biting your nails or something. It's disgusting. You know, your nails don't, you know, they're not healthy, you can't digest them. We want to help someone like that. But we're not the doer. It's Krishna supplying the intelligence that we're convinced biting nails are not a good thing. And we should try, Krishna is saying, here's a person biting nails. Use all your knowledge in psychology to try to give him something higher taste, like give him some ice cream in the afternoon or something. He'll stop biting his nails. But Krishna is the one who's giving the intelligence. It's not ourselves independently. We're accepting it because we want to help. We want to serve Krishna and assist him. But we're just assistants. We're not the all-pervasive controllers. So that's ignorance. And even when we get somewhat free from ignorance, then we want to be enjoy in the material world. We think, well, now I'm not suffering so much. I'm not anxiety about everyone else. Now, just let me be happy at least. Let everyone else do whatever they're doing. It's all right. Now I don't have to worry about them. So half my anxieties have gone away because I'm aloof from what everyone else is doing. I'm not trying to control anything. I'm not trying to correct anything. But now I just want to be happy. I just want to enjoy it. Leave me alone. I want to be peaceful and happy. Don't bother me. I'm not the controller. Take your problems to Krishna. And then we want to be happy. What is the secret of happiness? Digest our food. We learn the secret of how to be happy. Chew your food. Wow. I can't believe it. Such esoteric philosophy. Now I got to apply it. Oh, that's too difficult. Apply this esoteric philosophy. Chew the food. Drink water. Clean water. Breathe, learn how to breathe. Wow, there's air. Didn't even notice. So then one wants to be happy. But no matter how nicely we breathe and how much water we drink and how much we chew our food, we still can't really enjoy in the material world the way we want to enjoy. You can only get so much happiness out of chewing the food. There may be some taste in the food, but it's limited. And therefore we have to understand that if we serve Krishna and Krishna enjoys, then we actually enjoy. We can't enjoy except if Krishna enjoys. Of course, if we eat prasadam, and we chew prasadam and taste it, honor it, then we'll enjoy because Krishna enjoyed. And because Krishna is telling us we should honor prasadam, and if we do that, then we'll actually enjoy. But ultimately, it's Krishna who's enjoying. If Krishna is satisfied by our endeavors, then we enjoy. Otherwise, we can't really enjoy it anyway. And ultimately, Krishna is our friend. He's supplying everything we have. We should appreciate nothing we have is independent of Krishna's gifts. He's the one who's supplying everything to us. And he's our friend. He wants us to be happy. And we should try to serve Krishna, make him happy, because when we make Krishna happy, then everyone else, including ourselves, become happy. That's our real interest, is Krishna's happiness. So to see that, that's called knowledge. But unless we see we're eternal and beyond the modes of material nature, and we're simply observer, we won't see our part that we play, aimlessly, simply desiring to dovetail our desires with Krishna's desires. So for that, we need good association to find out what Krishna wants. And as we become purified gradually, everything becomes clearer, and then everything becomes as clear as the sun lighting up everything in the daytime. Then even without Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, the Super Soul will explain everything to us. Clearly, we just look around, everything is clear, completely clear. But that takes some time. Now we have a fight because we think something is correct and it may be completely wrong. We think something else is wrong and it may be completely correct. Until we become purified, then we won't see things properly. In any case, as it said, Kshetra Kshetrageya Jnanam Antara Jnana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha Ye Vidoryanti Te Param Kshetra Kshetrageya Jnanam. That one can understand Antara. Antara means the difference between the Kshetra, the body, and the Kshetra Jnana, the knower of the body. Kshetra, Kshetra, Jnanam, Antara, Jnana, Chakshusha. And we see that with the eyes of knowledge. As soon as we forget Bhagavad Gita or the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam, then we're in ignorance. So we have to see through the eyes of knowledge until our senses and mind become purified, our intelligence becomes purified. We have to take shelter of Jnana, Chakshusha. Seeing through jnana. Buddha prakriti moksham cha. Buddha means the living entity, and prakriti means the material nature. Moksham, how to get free from our entanglement with material nature. Buddha prakriti moksham ye vidura yanti tepura. And then one can actually attain to the supreme destination. So, we begin by hearing. Try to understand what it says so we can act according to it with conviction. Humbly investigating until everything becomes clear. And then when everything becomes clear, we can act in devotional service with conviction. In Krishna consciousness. To please Krishna. Then as we progress, then our skill in devotional service, our loving exchanges, be able to relate to all living entities in a loving way, in devotional service, in Krishna consciousness, so that we become completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Both externally we see Krishna everywhere, and internally we remember Krishna's pastimes, either in Vrindavan, or Krishna speaking to Arjuna on the battlefield, Kurukshetra. And this is perfection of life. Having completely absorbed in the spiritual energy, one acts as a perfect instrument for Krishna with all good devotional qualities that Krishna gives one. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, thank you for the lesson. I have a practical question relating to how to be a tool to instruct like relatives that they will quit their body and they don't know where to go. Some of my relatives, they have a life experience that they don't believe in God anymore, but yet there are few steps before they will quit the body.
Yeah, so they'll see God at the time of death. They'll bow down to Krishna at the time of death. So they'll see Krishna in the form of death. Mrityu Sarvaharashtraha. Time of death, I'll take everything away. So they think they're God now, but try to see how much they can hold on to when death comes and takes it all away from them.
But maybe I'm too much sentimental, but I would like to give them some
prasadam, maybe a little prasadam. What else can you do?
Thank you.
Give them nice prasadam.
Thank you.
Besides that, if you become a better devotee, then they'll thank that rascal, Akshaya. He's Hare Krishna devotee, that rascal Hare Krishna. So that way they'll remember Krishna. Think what a rascal you are. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the lecture. How it is in the process of the dying process, Krishna is still with us?
Yeah, he's with us all the time. How do you know you're dying unless Krishna is giving us intelligence? Ah, by the way, you're dying right now. Oh, really?
He's still there with us.
He's always with us, eternally. He's always been with us. We can't do anything without him.
But when time process is it more difficult to be with Krishna? Or
no, Krishna is always with us. It's difficult. Perhaps it's more difficult to remember him.
Yeah.
But then again, if you step on a nail, sometimes we don't think.
More difficult to remember.
Yeah, it's just difficult because we get distracted. Mm-hmm. We get more absorbed in the fact that my poor foot has stepped on a nail, and we do that, you know, I should be chanting Hare Krishna.
Can I ask another question?
That's another question. you get three questions.
I have another.
Yeah, you can ask
me. How is this prasada? How can change our consciousness? I mean, with the different.
Well, it's the same thing. Everything. Same thing. Anything can change our consciousness. We see it in relation to Krishna, and utilize it in His service. The difference between prasadam and say just, you know, putting a garland on Prabhupada is that prasad. Eating is what we're in the material world because we want to control and enjoy, and that all the essence of that is eating. It all begins with the tongue.
But in the short period of time it changes. It's not that I eat prasada with a certain cereal, and then it stay, you know, the consciousness.
No, we eat prasada. Sharira vijal jatendiyatai kal divafai sai sura. That this body is made out of material nature, but still Krishna is giving us spiritual energy, and I'm appreciating Krishna's given me this food to eat in His service. I'm eating it in such a way as to please Him. I'm relishing the fact that this taste is non-different from Krishna. And if we meditate on this taste in relation to Krishna, then we remember Krishna. And it's by remembering Krishna, experiencing Krishna, that we become purified. Just eating doesn't really help us very much. It's remembering Krishna and appreciating, remembering Krishna in a spirit of appreciation and eating with devotion, then Krishna reciprocates and reveals Himself in our consciousness more and more. And by the more Krishna appears within our consciousness, the more His ecstatic, transcendental energy pervades our consciousness, and all the impurities we have within our mind and heart become burnt up, like when blazing fire turns firewood to ashes. So it's in the presence of the ecstasy of Krishna revealing Himself to us that all the impurities of our consciousness get burnt away.
So when it comes some reaction, I mean, mind changes from prasada because it's spicy or something, is like it comes and goes. If there is spicy and the mind is like disturbed or something, reaction from the taste, it comes and goes. It's not that you experience and then it changes consciousness.
I don't understand.
I mean, is this like a reaction from prasada, but it's only for that prasada, and then, I mean, you eat again and you have another experience. And from the taste prasada, like different mood, different rasa.
Every time you eat prasadam, everything is different all the time. But it's all Krishna. So the steady factor is coming from Krishna. So if we appreciate that this taste is Krishna, and remember Krishna, then we become purified by eating prasadam.
In the different taste.
Whatever the taste is, if we remember it's Krishna, then Krishna is there along with the taste. And it's by remembering Krishna that we become purified. Anything else? That's it. Khwala. Gwandara Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.